My first time with Carol was my first time.
What?
It was my first time.
With Carol?
Oh.
So, in your whole life, you've only been with one? Oh.
Oh, boy, hockey was a big mistake. There's a whole bunch of stuff we could have done tonight.
Welcome to The One About Friends, the podcast that'll be there for you if you're there for it too. This week we are here to review the episode, The One with George Stephanopoulos. I'm Dando.
I am Nicola.
Before we actually get into our review, I just want to thank everyone who has tuned into the show so far and rated and reviewed us on Apple Podcasts. If you could all continue to do so, that would be much appreciated. Thank you to everyone who has sent in some fan mail to our friendsmailbag at gmail.com mailbag. But The One with George Stephanopoulos, the fourth episode of the series. I thought this episode started off a little bit weak. Ross was really annoying me for the first two-thirds of the
episode. Yeah, he was right Debbie Downer in this one, wasn't he?
I was like, oh, no, he's meant to be mopey in these earlier episodes, but for God's sakes, can we get on with this? But by the end of it, I thought they made his character very relatable to a whole new audience. I feel like there's a lot of people watching who would have gone, oh, I can relate to that. Not that they've only slept with one person, but it's just like, oh, I might not be lucky with women, neither is this guy.
Yes, true.
But they did kind of portray it like it was a negative on this show, but at least they didn't put him down for it, to his face anyway. Like behind his back.
No, they did a bit, didn't they, actually? Yeah, I know. I do like the, well, there was many things we could have done today. Yeah. We did not need to go to hockey. But yeah, that's okay. I love, personally, my overview of this episode. I love how much bonding there is. So not only are the guys having that little bonding session in the hospital where Ross is opening up, but the girls are having their very own bonding session out on the balcony over some, punch, shall we say, some cocktail of Monica's making. But yeah, I thought it was really good how they showed them all that little bit closer, a little bit more vulnerable, opening up about certain things, laughing about certain things, you know, just really felt like the friendship was flourishing and they're all getting closer. I really enjoyed this episode.
I have the exact same thing here. I said I like the balance of the guys and girls. Clearly they're setting up, again, Ross and Rachel being the two main characters. The guys are all hanging out to cheer up Ross,
mm-hmm.
and the girls are hanging out to cheer up Rachel.
Yes. I hadn't thought about it like that. Yep.
So they're clearly the two big stars of the show, and the good thing about this story was it's helping them realise that their past doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, not that it doesn't matter, but it's time to move
on.
Well,
they can move on, yeah, absolutely.
Where you are is where you should be, where you need to be, and everyone here is going to support you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ross is still sort of clinging on to his ex. And I wouldn't say Rachel's clinging on to her ex, but she's clinging on to her previous life of having money and success or perceived success when she hadn't really done much. She just sort of had a rich husband.
Oh, yes. I think it's more the change of direction. You know, for all these years, she thought this was where her life was going to go, and then all of a sudden she's in New York, not making much money.
Actually, I think it was a good overall episode just to showcase that these friends, these characters are a family unit. They don't judge each other, well, to their face much. Sometimes they do. But they're always there to support each other. And that final scene I thought was really sweet.
Yeah, I did. I enjoyed this episode for sure.
What they've done well so far, I should say, is they've ended each episode with sort of like a little tagline. For this one, it was, I'm fine. There was an episode where Ross said something previously. It's like the end of the episode is sort of like a, they always put like a full stop with the character referring to something they've mentioned during the episode. So
yeah, like a little flashback to what they've previously said. In this case, it was the bit magic beans or whatever, wasn't it?
Making it full circle, yeah.
Yeah.
And she's, because I'm fine. I'm pretty sure that was a reference to something, wasn't it, earlier in the episode? She was discussing something about, maybe her friends were saying, are you fine?
Something like the Visa card people. If you think I'm okay, if you think this means I'm okay, then you can tell them, yes, I'm okay.
Yeah, she said I'm fine, basically. So yeah, I'm happy where I am now.
Yeah, I'm okay. I've got magic beans.
Yeah. I wanted to discuss, do you know who George Stephanopoulos is?
Well, I do based upon Monica's description.
The White House guy.
The White House guy, you know, Clinton's advisor, nice butt, I think. And apparently Rachel said so. He's a little guy, so I don't know. Some short dude in a suit with a nice bum. I don't know.
I've known him as like the lead anchor for ABC. In the US, but beforehand in the early 90s, he was.
So he's a real person. He was.
Yes, he was the actual advisor for Bill Clinton, the president of America. Yes.
I don't know. I mean, sometimes you could say, it's based upon someone, but they might not use his real name, but obviously they did.
He's just very big in the news broadcast world, but he was an advisor for Clinton.
Could you open the window, please?
I can open the window for
Thank you.
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't want
it's
that
roasting
to
here at the moment.
Be part
it?
Of the podcast, but I'm really hot.
Window
guys.
Is open.
Thank
you happy
you so
now?
Much. Yes.
I forgot to open it before the show.
Yes.
Oof! It is warm in here.
Yes, it's been a muggy old day.
It has been, yes. But one other person I wanted to mention who starred in this podcast, I wanted to give a mention to, was Mary Pat Gleason, who plays the
Sorry,
nurse.
Starred in this pod in this podcast?
In this podcast slash episode. She doesn't star in this podcast because she unfortunately passed away last year.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, at the age of 70 due to cancer. But Mary Pat Gleason, she's one of those people who, she's appeared in many things. She's like, oh, she's that woman from this, that woman from that. I consider her sort of like the Paul Giamatti who, he's in Billions. You know him as the guy from Billions, Chuck. Is it Chuck?
Oh,
Chuck?
Yeah.
So he's been in many things, but a lot of people don't really know his name. It's just, oh, yeah, it's that guy from this. Well, she was one of those kind of actors. She was in various TV shows. But Mary Pat Gleason unfortunately passed away last year. So
oh, I didn't know that.
Rest in peace, Mary
well,
Pat Gleason.
Well, I can dive right into a trivia question if you like.
Before that.
Oh, it's related to this, though.
Let's do it then, trivia.
Well, just one.
Okay, no, this is
a tidbit.
It's now trivia.
Okay.
Five correct questions wins the game. The lightning round begins now.
Well, I was just going to say, what was her character's name in this episode? Don't look. I see you looking.
Yeah, no.
You've not got her up on Google or something,
no, I
haven't.
Have you? No. I've got George Stephanopoulos up on the page here. It was a name that I thought, oh, that's interesting because, no, it's not Pepper.
What?
What's the other kid's show that everyone watches? Dora? Is it Dora?
Uh-huh. I don't know her first name, but actually Chandler refers to her as Dora, yes.
Ah, Dora.
Yes, but what did her badge say? Do you know?
I didn't look, no.
Ah, her badge says Sizemore.
Sizemore?
But I don't know. I assume that's her last name, not her first name.
Is that meant to be a joke?
I've got no idea, because she's a slightly bigger
she's
lady.
A bigger girl, as Monica would say.
No, Rachel said it. She was a big
Oh,
girl.
Yes, about Monica, of course. Yes, get it right, Brendan. My first question is, what's the hockey game? Which two teams?
Oh, I can tell you this.
One of your trivia?
Yes, it was. It's Rangers and Penguins.
Who are they?
The Pittsburgh Penguins and the New York Rangers.
Yeah, and we went into their change rooms.
New York Rangers. Mm-hmm. We didn't go to Pittsburgh, right? So no. From memory.
We went at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Good times. And the New
well,
York
Well, we actually
Knicks.
Didn't go in, did we? Did we just look outside
no, we went
from the
into,
rope?
Well, we went to the Knicks change room. I'm pretty sure it was a shared change room. I could be wrong, but
I feel like there was one that we weren't really allowed to go all the way into. Do you remember?
I remember we went into one of them. Maybe it was just the Knicks. I don't know. But it was cool.
Great yes. times. We can remember it really well.
Your next question.
Oh, right. Yes. Okay. So when the girls got a pizza delivered.
Yes.
What was the pizza that was delivered to them?
I'm going to pretend like I don't know, but it's actually one of my trivia questions.
Oh, is it? Go on then. No. Give us an answer then.
It is mushroom, green pepper and onion.
Okay. And what was supposed to be delivered?
I liked this. It was fat-free crust with extra cheese.
Yes, absolutely. I thought that was brilliant.
It reminded me of when I go to a takeaway place. And get Pepsi Max.
Yeah, I'm having...
Give me the most fattening food as possible, but I'll only take a Diet Coke, thank you.
Yeah.
And my final question, I guess it is, because that one was stolen.
Oh.
I only had three questions. Was how many people were killed in the mine on Phoebe's first payday? Is that your other trivia question?
Oh, no, it wasn't, but good question. Oh, God. Like eight?
Well done, yes.
Eight, good. Yeah. I feel like it was eight, yeah.
You and your friends trivia, you know everything.
I know. All right, well, go on then. Let's see what I can do for you here. Let me see. Well, I've got two more questions it could be. So we'll see. We'll. What was the name of Monica's punch?
I have no idea.
Tiki Death Punch.
Death.
Sorry,
yeah,
I did recall.
And she just drank it straight from the jug.
Yeah, give me a straw. I love it. And, okay, so when the boys say, you know, we're going to take you out for your birthday, Ross, and he says, that's funny, my birthday was so many months ago. How many months ago was Ross's birthday?
Three.
Ooh.
Damn it.
Not close. Seven. Ooh, close. No, it wasn't. You've got to guess between 0 and 12, and okay. It was not right.
Oh, well, there you go.
Anyway, I wrote a few down. I thought there was some really good little tidbits in this episode. Yeah. I thought, ooh. I have another trivia. If you'd really like to hit it up, when the posh girls come in, Rachel's friends, girls, and one of them's been shopping, carrying a big brown bag. What common US department store does that big brown
I'm
bag
gonna guess from? Because I didn't. I know it's the place where Rachel worked. Did she work at Macy's?
Oh no, she didn't. But
damn
good,
it.
Good guess. Bloomingdale's.
And she worked there, right?
She did.
I got that bit right. I remember reading it and going, she worked there, I'm pretty sure. I don't know why I said Macy's. Fool.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Is that it for trivia for the one with George Stephanopoulos?
Let me see. No. I don't think so. No, I'm. Well, you know, I've written notes all over the thing. I could turn any of them into. Do you know what FICA stands for?
I do have it in my notes. I'm pretty sure it's basically the tax man. But yeah,
it is. Yeah. Well, that's not what it stands for. No. Basically, the tax man. That's BTTM.
We'll get into that during the review. Do you have a favorite moment?
Yeah, well, my favourite were probably just the fact the girls on the balcony telling truths, bonding, the closeness. You know, I thought it was quite funny when Monica was like, you remember that vegetarian pâté I made? Well, it's goose as a vegetable. So I just love that. That's what those scenes.
But be honest, when you say you make vegan stuff for my sister, how often do you sneak food in?
Hell no. I'm not that kind of girl. I am so, if I'm making it vegan, it is truly vegan. I just won't bother otherwise.
I think just that the bonding was my favourite moment as well. It was a really good episode for separating the boys and the girls, showing what we love about each character, but still at the end, they were together and they were a family unit.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, guys, we're going to take a short break, and when we return, we'll be back with our full in-depth review of The One with George Stephanopoulos. Hey, guys, enjoying the show? Well, what if I was to tell you that once you finish listening to this, you could also get early access into the next episode of The One About Friends. To do so, you just got to become a member of the Four Finger Discount Patreon family, where you not only get early access to this show, but all the other shows we do here on the Four Finger Discount Network, including Four Finger Discount, Talking Seinfeld, and Going Down to South Park. On top of that, you'll also get access to our Patreon-exclusive podcast, The Movie Guys, and Tales of Futurama, the exclusive Four Finger Discount Facebook group where you get to banter with Nicola and myself on a daily basis, monthly prize draws, Zoom calls, and much, much more. Just go to patreon.com/fourfingerdiscount to get access to hours upon hours of exclusive content. Thank you so much for your support. Now enjoy the show. The original air date of The One with George Stephanopoulos was October 13th, 1994. It was written by Alexa Young, who also wrote the episode, or she won an award for the episode The One Where Everybody Finds Out.
Oh, really?
With Monica and Chandler, yes.
Yeah, gosh, she was writing on it for a number of years, though, wasn't she?
Yeah, she wrote for many shows. She wrote Sex and the City and Grace and Frankie, show that you watched on Netflix, I think.
Stacey started to watch that. I haven't actually got into that yet.
Okay.
But, I watched an episode or two. They just sort of got high on the beach, and I thought, oh, this is funny, but... That's all I know about it so far.
She's very successful. A very successful TV writer. And it was directed by James Burrows. Now, before we get into the review, go throw a shout out to our number one fan, Mr. Matt Blom. Dear friend Matt Blom. Listening to the show, he was our first listener, and I'm sure he's probably the first person to download this and listen to this as well. So shout out to you, Mr. Matty Blom, and we hope you get better soon.
Yeah, we hope you're feeling better, mate.
Yeah. All right, the episode kicks off with the little cold open of everybody chatting in Central Perk about being omnipotent.
Oh, that's good. Phoebe? Okay. If I were omnipotent for a day, I would want world peace, no more hunger, good things for the rainforest, and bigger boobs.
Well, so you took mine. Chandler, what about you?
If I were omnipotent for a day, I'd make myself omnipotent forever.
See, there's always one guy. If I had a wish, I'd wish for three more wishes.
Hey, Joey.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Joey, what would you do if you were omnipotent?
Probably kill myself.
Excuse me?
Hey, if little Joey's dead, then I got no reason to live.
Joey, omnipotent.
You are?
Oh, by the way, the intro for this episode... the intro sequence is slightly modified for this one, where some of the shots that are taken from the actual episode, this one here, are removed and replaced with other ones. So they don't have shots from this episode in the intro of the episode to give things away.
Yeah.
It's the only episode that ever did that.
So the shots that are in, for example, episode 5, are they only shots from episode 1 to 4?
So
or I thought they only used prior episode shots.
No, so basically they filmed the whole season.
Yeah. Right?
And
then chopped
episodes,
up some clips and stuff.
They chopped up some of the best clips and put it in the intro.
Right.
For this one here, though, they took out the clips that were featured in this actual episode and replaced them with other moments. But then
anything in particular that they were worried about revealing?
I don't know which ones, but I just know. Maybe that wasn't the reason about revealing stuff. I'm not too sure, but they did it for this episode and this episode only.
Maybe it's too much like hard work.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah, for something that people
aren't going to see. Because what are you going to see? Yeah, for a snippet,
anyway. And if you didn't know it was in this episode, how do you know it's giving anything away?
Yes, exactly.
Maybe it was... Is there a clip from them at the hockey game in the crowd?
Yeah.
In the intro?
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
It seems to ring a bell. You're the trivia person, for friends. You should know.
Yeah, but I always skip the intro.
Did you, before Netflix, though, did you ever skip it? When you had the Blu-rays and whatnot, you used to always watch it on the Blu-rays. Did you used to skip the intro, if you could? I'm pretty sure you could skip it as a chapter, because the Simpsons DVDs I have used to be able to skip the intro.
I don't think I did, because I think when I used to watch the Blu-rays, I used to just put them on, like, put them on when I was going to bed, for example. So I'd just stick them on the telly and press go, and then just, like, relax and go to sleep. So I'm pretty sure I didn't skip anything.
I'm big on intros not being skipped. It gets you in the mood for the show.
Well, Designated as a Survivor's intro is in less than, I think, like 6.5. And I'm all about it. Skip that shit.
Nicola, it starts playing. She finds the remote, pushes the button. By the time she pushed the button, she might have skipped 1 second. What was the other show that we had that had a really short intro? And in the end, we realised that this wasn't worth skipping.
It wasn't Morning Wars. That's for damn sure. Oh, that one goes on forever.
Jeepers creepers. It's like 2 minutes.
I know.
Way too long.
Silly balls just chasing themselves around the screen. It was daft, isn't it?
Good show, though.
No, loving it, loving it. Another Jennifer Aniston, fave. So,
if you like yourself some Jennifer Aniston, check out Money Wars. It's a very, very good show.
Mm.
So the episode kicks off with them in Central Perk again, and Phoebe is asleep in public. I've never really been able to do this. I've done it at an airport. That's about it.
Yeah,
you passed out in doorways and stuff. You told me.
Look, that was a different lifetime.
Tell me that story. So you got so drunk you fell asleep in a doorway. What was the story?
Yeah, look, I'm pretty sure I was really drunk and needed to sit down, needed to sleep it off. I don't think it was a voluntary sleep. I think it was a case that I sat down and fell asleep.
What, your friends left you there?
Oh, I'm pretty sure they were over the street getting a kebab or something. I'm not really sure. Boston's a very small town. Like, it was in the marketplace. Like, all my friends were nearby. Pretty sure they took photos of me or with me. I'm not sure. I can't remember. I'm sure there's some evidence somewhere.
And who woke you up? What happened?
Oh, I think I just came to. I just think I was just really drunk. I wouldn't call it proper sleep.
Oh, okay.
I think I was just dozing. It's just that drunk. Thanks. Cheers, Mum. Hi, Mum. Yeah, don't worry about it. I'm fine. Yeah. Anyway, look, that was just one time.
Just one of the many stories you'll have to look forward to hear on the One About Friends of Nicola passing out due to alcohol consumption.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hasn't happened for a long time, but
we don't have a lot of life due to parenting and COVID. Cheers.
But Phoebe wakes up. She's having a bit of a nightmare. She was dreaming about... Oh, no, she's tired.
She wasn't. I don't think she was dreaming. It's just that she was explaining why she was falling asleep in public.
Because her grandma has a new boyfriend. They're both very insecure. And they're both near death as well.
Not death.
Oh, they're both deaf. That's right. I've got death written here. I was like, it doesn't seem right. But I'm
just
going
to roll with it.
I'm assuming they're both near death.
Righto. But they're deaf, meaning they're loud.
Yeah.
So she can't sleep.
Exactly. Mm. And they're constantly reassuring each other that they're having a good time because they're very insecure. Monica then offers Phoebe to stay at hers. Good friend Monica is.
Hmm.
Joey proves to Chandler as they're walking in that it's less than 100 steps. Doesn't really add anything to the story. Just something to sort of have them say funny as they walked in. Joey and Chandler say to Ross that they've got hockey tickets for his birthday. And it's not actually his birthday, though. Why did they get him tickets?
Oh, because they couldn't decide who gets to bring a date, yes. I think they said. Yeah.
So he's going to be the third wheel. Ross realises it's October 20th. So that nearly Holly's birthday.
Almost, yes. Yeah.
Happy birthday to a little holster.
Yes, by the way. So what is she? Oh, what day is it?
October 21st. So it would have been 2 weeks ago on Thursday.
Two weeks tomorrow. Yeah, that's right.
1 year old little Holly. Mm. Holly Wally. But Ross realises it's October 20th. And unfortunately, why is that a bad day for Ross?
Well, it's the anniversary. 7 years, I believe it was. 7 years, I think. I'm getting nods.
I'm just assuming.
I know these things. Since him and Carol consummated their relationship, if you will. And obviously later we learn it was the only time or the only person Ross had consummated anything with, shall we say.
Yes, that's the big reveal. But I just thought, I'm just like, oh, mate, get over it. It's not that big of a deal. Like,
I know.
Come on.
I mean, I can't remember. Yeah, he was a bit like gloomy.
I can't remember what date it was when we first. Can you?
Not really, no. I think we decided when we were going to be boyfriend and girlfriend.
That was May 20th.
20th
or 21st. Actually a debate, isn't it? Because you say 19th, I say 20th. Because
it was 19-20. It was in the middle of the overnight,
it was
wasn't
like 2 a.m. on the 20th.
Brendan used to work at Ford, just for those who don't know, and he used to do 4 till midnight. So it wasn't just that we were, we were young and also awake at that time. But it was.
Did you used to like go to sleep and then wake up at night to see me?
I think occasionally I would have definitely had a sleep before you came over or whatever. But yeah, And then once basically I just kind of moved in with you then.
Come on, Ross, you, me, Joey, Ice, guys' night out. Come on, what do you say, big guy, huh? Huh? Huh?
What are you doing?
I have no idea.
Come on, Ross.
All right, maybe it will take my mind off it. You promised to buy me a big foam finger?
You got it.
All right.
So Rachel gets her first paycheck here. I loved the delivery of, hi, me.
Yeah, no, this is my name in the window. Yeah. Yes.
And this is where Phoebe mentions the people getting killed at the mine.
God, isn't this exciting? I earned this. I wiped tables for it. I steamed milk for it. And it was totally not worth it. Who's Fika? Why's he getting all my money? I mean, what? Chandler, look at that.
Oh, this is not that bad.
Oh, you're fine. Yeah, for a first job. You can totally, totally live on this.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, by the way, great service
to me. Oh, yeah.
This is me when I got a Christmas bonus and I was annoyed that the taxman took all my money. I'm like, but I got this many thousands and I didn't end up with that many thousands because the damn taxman took all my money. Like, the concept of tax just... I always say to you, yeah, but I lose it all to tax. You're like, yeah, but you get it back. And I'm like, not all
I want it now.
Yeah. But she is mentioning here FICA, which is the same thing. The taxman has taken her money.
Would you like to know what it stands for? I did write it down.
Oh, yes. Please do so.
That was the most uninterested. Oh, yes. Please do so. Federal Insurance Contributions Act is what it stands for. FICA.
FICA.
Yeah, FICA.
But even though her pay is low, they try to reassure her that it's good and by helping
her. Her first job, yeah, absolutely, you know. But the thing is, I suppose everyone else's first job is when they're 18 and Rachel's probably like 25.
Well, these guys are supposed to be in their late 20s, mid-20s.
I think 25, 26. They do refer to Monica's age in an episode coming up. The Ick Factor is the episode in particular.
But Phoebe doesn't work, does she? Pretty sure I can't remember. Maybe she does. Anyway, they all reassure her that it's good and then offer her a big tip just to help her out because she's offered such good service. And the guys leave for the hockey, but this is where the three old friends walk in, catch the guy's eye.
Mm.
That basically they do that to make the viewer aware that these girls are going to be somebody. They're going to mean something to the story. Yeah. Well, not to the story.
And also they don't belong here.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, they're new.
Oh, come on, you guys. Tell me all the dirt.
Well, the biggest news is still you dumping Barry at the altar.
All right, let's talk reality for a second.
Okay.
When are you coming home?
What? Guys, I'm not.
Come on, this is us.
I'm not. This is what I'm doing now. I've got this job,
waitressing.
Cake, I'm not just waitressing. I mean, I write the specials on the specials board, and I take the dead flowers out of the vase. And sometimes Arturo lets me put the little chocolate blobbies on the cookies.
Well, your mom didn't tell us about the blobbies.
So basically they're here to just not put down Rachel, but just to see, is she actually working in a restaurant?
Yeah, they're really just not supportive people.
No.
You know, they're just like, you know... Really? This life? Is this really? You'd prefer this to what we had, you know? These rags to our riches that we have. And come back. Stop being silly. You know, you've done your experience and your adventure. Come home, you know, like as if it wasn't... Excuse me.
What she's doing now isn't good enough.
Yeah, I just burped, by the way. I don't know if you want to...
Yeah, I'll leave it
cut in. That out. Had a really good cup of tea for those of you that are interested. Out of my how you doing mug. And it was really good. But anyway.
$5 from Typo mug.
Yeah.
Cheap stocking stuff. But anyway, yeah, they're just being...
Yeah, so anyway.
Not very nice people.
Yes, absolutely. Just not supportive of the fact she's made this clear-cut decision. She, you know, she's making a big change in her life. It's not temporary. You know, they just think it's a whim and a...
It's beneath them. Why would you want to do this?
I didn't know about the blobbies.
I did like Phoebe and Monica here, though, just taking the piss.
Yeah, this I would have elbows.
Literally me, if I was in the room.
I'd be so embarrassed.
The guys then all walk into the hockey, just pretending to play, and Ross just continuing to be mopey. And I've just got here, I hope he's not like this for the entire episode, because it's really annoying, looking at the shoes and the peach pit and the bus stop.
I just want to know, though, so he says, peach pit. You know, and Chandler's like, oh, hi, bunny, which I thought was quite funny. But also how, and then he goes, well, it wasn't peaches, it was nectarines. I'm sorry. When you're looking at the stone from a peach or a nectarine, are they not the same? How the hell do you know it was a peach and not a nectarine?
Oh, well, I know what a nectarine pip looks like. I don't know what a peach pip looks like. I've never eaten a peach in my life. Have you ever eaten a peach?
Of course I have. It's the same as a nectarine stone. It's the same.
Well, I don't know. Maybe nectarines aren't common over there. Who knows?
But then, that's what I'm saying. It's like, why didn't he say nectarine pit? Like, I don't know.
Wait, so what does he say?
Peach pit.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, how do you know the difference between a peach pit and a nectarine pit? Well, when it's just the pit on the floor. It's just a stone, like the stone of the fruit.
But do they have nectarines in New York? I don't know.
Well, of course they must have. He literally said, they said, oh, you had peaches that night. He said, well, nectarines. But okay. Close enough.
That's why I asked before. Okay, so
well, you're not watching the episode. Okay. Yeah. I thought we were reviewing the episode.
I've watched it 30,000 times like yourself. I apologize. Right, okay. Yes, I missed that one word, yeah.
My point being, when he looks at the floor and he sees the peach pit, how does he know it's not a nectarine pit? It's interesting.
For the sake of...
Sort of.
It's for the sake of the story.
I find it interesting. No one else may find it interesting, but that's where my mind goes.
Listeners at home, can you tell the difference between a nectarine pit and a peach pit? Write in friendsmailbag@gmail.com. But he's just, continuing to be very mopey. We cut to the girls, and the ladies are trying to make Rachel feel... Oh, they're making her feel better, aren't they? Asking when she's coming back and blah, blah, blah. And just, you're better than this, basically. Now, the character Kiki, one of her friends, Kiki, she appears for the first time in this episode. She makes her second and final appearance in the one with the flashback, which is set 12 months before the pilot.
Yes, which I do know that episode you're referring to. Is Kiki the one with brown hair?
I couldn't tell you. I just got this fact.
I feel like I know the one that recurs, that appears again. Yeah.
Okay, how would you like some Tiki Death Punch?
What's that?
Well, it's rum and...
Okay.
We thought since Phoebe was staying over tonight, we'd have kind of like a slumber party thing. We got some trashy magazines, we got cookie dough, we got Twister.
Oh, and I brought Operation, but I lost the tweezers, so we can't operate. But we can prep the guy.
Then the Visa card people call up because there's some unusual activity happening in Rachel's credit card. And what is it?
That there is no activity.
Yeah. I thought that was quite funny.
Because she cut it up in the previous episode.
Look, they just want to see if you're okay.
They want to know if I'm okay. Okay, they want to know if I'm okay. Okay, let's see. Well, let's see. The FICA guys took all my money. Everyone I know is either getting married or getting pregnant or getting promoted. And I'm getting coffee. And it's not even for me. So if that sounds like I'm okay, okay, then you can tell them I'm okay. Okay?
Rachel has left the building. Can you call back?
All right, come on. Let's play Twister.
These horrible friends have made her think that what she's doing now isn't good enough for her. Yeah. Not good enough for her, but made her feel insecure about what she's doing right now. Because she was feeling quite good, but she was proud of herself.
Yeah,
she's
feeling independent.
She got her first paycheck, and then all of a sudden, now I'm shit again. I'm not worthy.
And then Monica, Rachel has left the building.
Then the guys arrive at the hockey and Ross is still mopey. And as Chandler says, let me guess, there was ice there as well.
Yeah, no.
And there was. Plastic seats, 4,000 angry Pittsburgh fans. But what was it? The first frost, as Ross mentioned.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, he was very unlikable in the first half of this episode, I must say.
Yeah, just down in the dumps, wasn't he?
It was just because I'm like, at least it pays off at the end, but I'm like, so what? Who fucking cares? Why is that the big deal? I did find, though, when he was yelling at the hockey later in the episode, it reminded me of pivot, because he goes,
really?
pass it. And it sounds very much like pivot, yeah. Monica and Phoebe then reassuring Rachel, you're fine, you're independent, and they mentioned Jack and the Beanstalk.
You are just like Jack. Jack from downstairs? No, Jack and the Beanstalk.
Ah, the other Jack. Yeah, right.
See, he gave up something, but then he got those magic beans. And then he woke up and there was this big plant outside of his window full of possibilities and stuff. And he lived in a village and you live in the village.
Okay, but Phoebs, Jack gave up a cow. I gave up an orthodontist. Okay, I know I didn't love him, but...
Oh, see, Jack did love the cow.
But see, it was a plan. You know, it was clear. Everything was figured out, and now everything's just kind of like...
Floopy?
Yeah.
Look, you're not the only one. I mean, half the time, we don't know where we're going. I mean, you just got to figure at some point it's all going to come together, and it's just going to be... unfloopy.
Like, that's a word.
So Ross is now having a good time at the hockey. He's forgotten all about Carol and met their first time and whatnot. But unfortunately for Ross, nothing ever goes his way and he gets hit in the nose with a puck. Why do the crowd boo him when they appear on the screen, by the way? Ross did nothing wrong.
I don't know.
They go, check, look at us, we're on the big screen. And
everyone's booing? Oh, I don't know. I didn't really pick up on
maybe
that.
Maybe not meant to be booing at Ross, I'm not too sure. They arrive at the emergency department and the nurse is calling the candy bar company because she's not satisfied.
I feel like I should do that sometimes. I think like when you ring these people, like they give you free shit. So I should definitely ring the Galaxy chocolate people and be like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You have imported this all the way from Ireland into Australia and I am not satisfied. Please send me a box of free Galaxy.
It's got that white fluffy stuff on it.
What fluffy stuff?
You know when you leave Easter chocolate for a whole year?
Oh, it's not fluffy. It just goes a bit, you know, oxidized powdery. Or whatever. Yeah, it just goes a bit white.
Don't call McDonald's if you want free stuff, by the way. I mentioned on the Four Finger Discount podcast this week. Ordered Elliot a cheese toasty. No shit, Nicola. It came in the bag, four little bits of bread and two bits of cheese.
I know. I heard about it for about 2 hours post.
But it was ridiculous. That's why. And then when I called her up, she's like, oh, yeah, are you sure? And I'm like, I'm pretty fucking sure that it's just four pieces of bread and two pieces of cheese thrown into a paper bag, not toasted, nothing.
I've bothered to make this phone call. I'm pretty sure about what I'm looking
yeah.
at.
Yeah. So they won't give you free shit. But KFC gave me free $30 credit. Purely 15? Because, was it 15? Was it? I thought it was 30. They gave us free credit because they forgot the chips. Yeah. Anyway, go pro KFC on this podcast. So they arrive at the emergency department and the nurse is calling the candy bar company. She's just ignoring everybody. This is very, it felt very sitcom-y, this moment. Just the nurse not having any care for any of the people in the emergency room. I was like, just kind of feel. I think this episode in general just felt, as a whole, very early Friends in a sense. It didn't really feel very, Friends by the time like season 4 or 5 felt very unique. It had its own sort of feeling, its own formula. This one just felt like a classic sitcom. Of course, when you go to the emergency department, the nurse behind the counter is a bitch. It just felt, whatever. But she was very funny, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, just her facial expressions and whatnot. And she yells at
any
Chandler.
Any minute now.
She yells at Chandler for being a smart ass. I love the predicament room gag.
Yes, I know.
The girls are all now mopey. Rachel's brought them down.
She sure has.
But luckily, the pizza guy... Actually, before that, we get to that. Did you notice that when Courtney Cox is flicking the ice cream, she accidentally flicks a bit of ice cream across the room when she sticks a spoon in?
No, no. Like, when is she doing that?
Not ice cream, cookie dough.
Yeah.
So she's sitting on the chair and she's sort of like... It's only a little bit of cookie dough, but she sort of puts a spoon in, lifts it up and it goes flying off camera.
Oh, I'm going to have to re-look at that.
But she just kept going. Yeah.
Did you notice when Phoebe was laid down on the floor that she double strawed it? She got two straws stuck together, which is very like 90s. I love it.
Really?
Yeah, one straw inside the other so she could reach it. So she didn't have to keep moving her glass close
to her
mouth.
Oh, I thought you meant next to each other. Okay.
No, like lengthways. Yeah, she'd stuck one inside the other to make a really long straw.
I've never done that before.
I love that. What? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have.
I can tell, yes.
I loved it, yeah.
That's a very genius idea. It's very Phoebe to do that as well.
Hmm.
But luckily, since they're all mopey, the pizza guy arrives. And I just love the fat-free crust with extra cheese.
I know. It's something like that I would order and Brendan would be like, oh my God, I can't ring them and ask for that. You do it.
You never order anything from the menu.
Oh, look, I just don't like Napoli sauce. Like, let's just be honest.
But it's not just that.
What else is it?
It's whatever meal you choose, I need to get it with this minus that and add this.
No. Yes. Says no ham, add gravy, no salad, just chips with your palmy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a lot of things.
But at least I get the same thing every time. You get the menu out, whoop, and you have a look.
I don't know that. I go to different places. I don't know what I have all the time.
Anyway.
Leave me alone.
But, yeah, so the pizza guy's arrived. Unfortunately, he's brought the wrong pizza. He's brought them George Stephanopoulos' pizza. from across the street is where George lives.
Just how do they know he lives there? I mean, I know they know who it is, but how do they know where he lives?
Because he goes, I gave your pizza to the guy across the street.
Yeah, but they know exactly which apartment to look at, don't they? Monica gets the binoculars out and is like, yep, there he is.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe they just knew he lived there. They spied on him before. They didn't.
Oh, I don't think so. Maybe, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. We're just surmising.
They decide they're going to keep the pizza because it's George Stephanopoulos pizza. Monica's very, very excited about this. And you know, for the viewers at home who did know who he was, they have Monica explain who he is.
Mm-hmm. I did not know who he was. Thank you, Monica.
Not Snuffleupagus.
Yes.
That is Big Bird's friend. I think Snuffleupagus was like one of my favourite characters in anything when I was a kid. He was just so nice. Did you ever watch Sesame Street?
Well, yeah, I watch it now. No, I did, because of the kids. No,
old
I did.
Bird.
I did actually, I did watch a little bit of Sesame Street, but I wouldn't have known all the characters and stuff like that.
There was a Big Bird movie called Follow That Bird. Oh, God, I loved that movie when I was a kid.
Did you?
Hmm. It was Big Bird leaving Sesame Street to go join a family of birds, because he was the only bird on Sesame Street.
Yeah.
Like, and then he doesn't like it where he is, so he runs away from home to go back to Sesame Street, gets lost. It's like there's a ransom out for Big Bird to try and catch him and use him in the circus. So all the people from Sesame Street go out to try and rescue Bird and find him, but all the bad guys are trying to find him at the same time. It's probably a terrible movie now. As a kid, loved it. Follow That Bird. Any listeners out there remember Follow That Bird, let us know. So then spying on George Stephanopoulos from across... They love spying on people, don't they? From
mm-hmm.
other apartments. You've got the ugly naked guy. Yep, and George so far. They spun him through the window. And I don't understand Phoebe's "that's not for you, bitch." it was funny, but it just sort of felt random.
Yeah, I suppose so. But I suppose she was shocked by her feeling of jealousy towards whoever that was in his apartment.
It's like, "that's not for you, bitch." Well, it's clearly for her, but because it was meant to be Phoebe's pizza.
Okay, yeah, okay. It was the girl's pizza, and they were like, "how dare you? We don't mind if George has our pizza, right? But we don't know who you are."
What pizza would you prefer? I think the girl's pizza.
Oh, hells yeah. If it's got stuffed crust. Well, no, sorry. Actually, I suppose in my mind I'm thinking it's a stuffed crust. I probably got that wrong because it's a fat-free crust.
Oh, see, I have cheese. Stuffed crust in my head as well. Okay, yeah. So it's fat-free crust with extra cheese. Margarita. Okay.
Yeah. In which case, I'd probably rather the one with the stuff on the mushroom and green pepper, which obviously those Australian listeners would know as capsicum.
Whenever I hear green pepper, I think of Eddie Murphy's. Yeah, where do you get the green pepper? Welfare burger farm. Welfare burger. So we're now back at the emergency room and Joey is reenacting the puck hitting him in the face.
And he's trying to imagine what it might have felt like or looked like.
Chandler tries to talk to the nurse but fails. Oh, so this is the clip from the intro I've got here. This clip was used in the intro. Chandler talking to the nurse here in this moment.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
I think it's when he goes, huh, when she like
yes,
gives him that's the look.
Right. Yes. Because she scoops over the glass, you know.
Yeah.
And then he's talking to her like, oh, don't be mad. We both said some things, right? And then he's not expecting her to be there. And then, of course, it makes him jump.
Yeah. So that's the clip from the intro they cut out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The girls are still spying on George. It's kind of creepy. Spying on a guy through his window. Like, if the guys were doing this to a female, I feel like this whole episode would have a whole new meaning.
Mm-hmm.
You imagine all the articles from the millennials now. Oh, my God. Can you believe that the guys were spying on a girl through the window?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck those people.
Yeah, I know. Especially one of the bits towards the end when it's like, drop the towel.
I know,
imagine
right?
if they're spying through a window at a woman, drop the towel, yeah. drop the towel. Wow. Like, you know, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Can you
right.
believe this show from 1994 had gags that were relevant in 1994?
So, what do you think George is like?
I think he's shy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I think you have to draw him out. And then you do. He's a preppy animal.
Would you like me if I was a preppy animal?
Well, yeah, interestingly, I mean, what does preppy mean, though?
I thought preppy meant...
Is it short for something?
Well, I thought preppy to me always meant like, you know, you go to a college and you're very, very proper.
Pretentious.
Yeah, very preppy.
Well, let's Google it. What does preppy mean?
All right, then, let's Google it. What does preppy mean? What does preppy mean? Google says preppy means a pupil or graduate of an expensive prep school or a person resembling such a pupil in dress or appearance. Like I said, like very proper. You go to college or
okay,
whatever.
Well then how does referring to him as a preppy animal in the sack, what is that? He's a posh animal or like he's a well-to-do animal? Like how does that reference?
Maybe it means like jock? I don't know. Basically they're saying they think he'd be an animal in the sack.
Yeah. Just don't understand the use of the word preppy there.
Okay.
Do I want you to be a posh animal in the sack? Oh, probably not.
Let us know, listeners, what they were referring to there. Because we don't know what Preppy Animal is referring to. Now, apparently in the uncut DVD version of this episode, the girls also discuss what Chandler, Joey and Ross, much to Monica's protest, are like in bed. Have you ever seen this scene?
No. That's not in my Blu-rays.
Maybe it's a deleted scene or something.
Yeah, maybe I haven't watched all of enough of the special features.
Ooh, now you have to go and watch it, aren't you?
Oh, really? So what are they? So they're saying, what are they? The other boys like in bed, like
they. I wonder. It's
Joey's the Italian stallion, and Chandler's hilarious.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen it. You have to watch it and find out. Next episode, Nicole will let you know what she thinks of that scene.
Yeah.
Ross is still going on and on and on. Joey says, "Enough already." This is basically my reaction I've got here. Just fucking shut up, Ross. I'm sick of it. And he finally explains that it was his first time, but he's. And now you start to understand it a bit better.
I do like Chandler's, preface sort of thing to this, to his comment about being the first time, but, you know, what is it that's getting you? Yeah, like, is it that she likes women? Is it that she left you? Is it that she left you for another woman that likes women? Like, I like how that was all put together.
Okay, I got one. Do you remember that vegetarian pâté that I made that you love so much?
Uh-huh.
Well, unless Goose is a vegetable.
Okay, fine. Now I don't feel so bad about sleeping with Jason Hurley.
What? You slept with Jason?
You've already broken up.
How long?
Just a couple hours.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay, I got one. Anyway. The Valentine Tommy Rollerson left in your locker was really from me.
Excuse me? Oh, hello? Like he was really gonna send you one? She was a big girl.
Really? Well, at least big girls don't pee in their pants in seventh grade.
I was laughing. You made me laugh.
Oh my God, there he is. You. There he is. Hi, Roger. There he is.
Wait. Where?
We've been looking all night.
Oh, he's so cute.
Oh, George, baby, drop the towel.
Drop the towel.
Wow. Did you notice the pillow fall?
I did, and for some reason, I feel like I know that it wasn't supposed to fall.
I feel, judging from the documentaries I've watched with friends, it feels like the kind of thing that would have happened. She's gone with it, and then everyone would have gone, let's reference that later in the episode.
Yeah, possibly. And I did like how, obviously, we see the guy come back to deliver the downstairs neighbor or whatever.
Monica's relationship with Jason Hurley, apparently, is later referenced in the one where Eddie won't go from season 2.
Is that the one with the Lightning Bearer book?
I don't know, sweetheart. The one where Eddie won't go. Don't we look it up? Yeah, I'll look it up for you.
Because there's one where they've got this goddess book thing and they're like, oh, yeah, the Lightning Bearers and Wind Keepers or something. And I forget which way around the men and the women are. But it's like, did you ever steal? So women must be the wind keeper. It's like, did you ever steal another, you know, light or betray another wind keeper for a lightning bearer or something?
So the one where Eddie won't go is the episode where Chandler battles to get rid of his annoying new roommate.
Which is hilarious, by the way. This is a great episode.
Oh, yeah, you do like the one. Yeah. And Joey, who's feeling the crunch of unemployment and mounting debt, move back in. The girls discover a book on personal empowerment.
Ah, there you go. This is the one. See, I'm good, aren't I?
Yeah. Yeah, very good.
And I know exactly where it's referenced, yeah, because it's just like, have you ever betrayed another goddess for a lightning bearer or whatever? And it's, and there's, you know, Phoebe like doesn't want to answer the question. She's like, no. And then I think Rachel might point it out and be like, Jason Hurley. But it's interesting because clearly they've just told, actually, Monica that Phoebe slept with Jason Hurley, but she acts like she doesn't know in this episode. So it's interesting. I'll rewatch that and see if that's exactly how they do reference it. Because I feel like Monica was shocked that, you know, that Phoebe slept with...
She couldn't believe it here.
Yeah. No. And in this episode
in the next
too.
One.
And what
so
season
as
is
if she's
this?
Forgotten. Yeah,
what
okay.
season is Eddie?
Season 2, episode 19.
Yeah, season 2, rather. So I feel like then she almost finds out again. So she hasn't got a very good memory.
Yeah. Joey and Chandler can't believe that Ross has only slept with one girl, you know, but they're keeping it amongst themselves.
Oh, I think it's sweet though. I think Chandler was on the money, like, you know, oh, it's romantic, it's sweet. I think you should have stopped there because I think it was.
I, for some reason in my head, thought that Chandler had only slept with like one other girl as well.
I think he hasn't slept with many. I think you'll find one of the episodes of What Could Have Been, when it was like Chandler and so Monica, I think, was still bigger and was with some boring doctor or something, and they slept together, Chandler and Monica. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, spoiler. and he was saying about how many women he'd been with and blah, 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 and it was, you know, 9 or 7 or 4, or, and then it was like, there was only 2 women, weren't there? And he's like, yeah. And she goes, including me. He's like, yeah. So really, we do learn he wasn't necessarily the hottest, you know, cook in the kitchen kind of thing when it comes to women himself. So yeah, it's interesting that he's quick to mock. So yeah, I don't know what his current number is, but I don't suppose it's that high.
I guess by this point, or at this point in the show, they hadn't established that part of his character yet.
Yeah,
it was just they hadn't decided any sort of one other person. But yeah, anyway, so Ross has revealed that he's only slept with one person, and they're being nice to him, blah, 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 blah. But then he walks in with his mask, and they all make fun of him, including the nurse. I like the I loved you in Songs of the Lambs.
I know.
And the kid has stolen his puck. Ross goes to fight with him, but no. He goes, doesn't work out, does it? He throws the puck, hits the nurse in the face. Yeah. Everyone is now playing Twister. It's the end of the episode. The guy drops off the pillow, as we mentioned earlier. Did you notice Phoebe bends over in front of Joey and he looks at her?
Oh, yeah. No, I saw that. Like, oh, my. Bit of innuendo there, yeah.
Do you think at this point they sort of thought that could have been a relationship in the works, Joey and Phoebe? Because they always seem to get along really well.
They do.
They're almost like a brother and sister.
Yeah, I just don't. I think that it has definitely been a theme at, you know, certain times. But I don't think this was one of them. I think this was purely Joey just being a cheeky monkey. Do you know what I mean? Like,
but if I did that to one of your friends, it wouldn't be a cheeky monkey. I'd be in trouble.
Well, just to be clear, Joey's not married to any of the other friends.
That is true.
So, you know, if you were a young, free, single person, being a bit silly with another young free single person, I don't suppose I'd mind. But don't do it with any of my friends, otherwise you'd be in trouble.
Okay.
I like here, actually, I made a little note. I like when the phone rings and the visa people want to speak to Rachel, and he says, Rachel says, can you take my place? Yeah. And he goes, hello, this is Rachel. Thought that was quite clever.
But yeah, because the visa card people have called, and she says, no, don't worry about me, I'm fine. I've got some magic beans.
Mm.
Yeah, a very, very nice way to end the episode.
Yeah, and just to see how bright she's come full circle from, yeah, like you say, feeling really down, down in the dumps. I suppose reminiscing about, you know, what she's left, reevaluating, have I made the right decision, having a proper meltdown, to realizing, like you say, these are her people. You know, she's obviously had a great night with her girls, you know, and now the boys have come along for a bit of fun as well. And obviously they're probably half cut by the amount of death tiki punches they've had. But she's feeling bright. And I love that. I love how she just, yeah, you see the almost contentedness. What's the right word for that? Contentness?
Happiness.
Yeah, she looks
she
really
is content.
Yes. Yeah.
But what they're doing well with the writers is that they're ending each episode on a high note. They're leaving you feeling, oh, that's nice. And it makes you want to come back and watch the next one.
Yeah, they've worked through whatever issues or themes, and it
never really ends with anything wacky. It usually ends with a character development of some kind. Yeah. So a good overall episode. Really, really enjoyed it. I thought it started a bit weak, but it finished very, very strong.
Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan, they get mail and stuff.
We've got some mailbag questions that have been sent in. Friendsmailbag@gmail.com.
Awesome.
They're both for you, actually. They know you've watched the show.
Yeah.
So this is from Julie Cater from Byron Bay.
Oh, nice.
She says, is there an episode of the show that Nicola tends to skip due to either seeing it too many times or there's something that she just doesn't like about it?
It's interesting. I think that I think I've probably mentioned it before that I do tend to skip some of the earlier seasons. If I am putting it on for just my, you know, background viewing pleasure, I'd probably start from season 3 or 4. I just feel like it just comes into its own a bit more, and I enjoy the humour.
That's like an ear of the show. Is there a particular episode that comes on and you go, and you skip it?
I think I'm not a fan of the flashback episodes or the, you know, the ones where it's like, well, a flashback episode.
No, the Simpsons have flashback episodes as well. I say Simpsons because I'm the Simpsons guy. I do the Simpsons podcast.
You know, where they're just literally rekindling scenes from other previous episodes. And
what about clip shows?
That's what I mean. I'm sorry.
So you don't mean you mean clip shows.
Sorry, that's exactly what I mean. Yeah. A clip show where it's just clips of, you know, for example, Monica and Chandler are writing their wedding vows.
Yeah.
And the whole episode is just clip shows of, you know, well, write what he's taught you or what you've taught him, and then, you know, it goes through all the things, you know, and I'm like, ugh, can't be bothered.
They're very much a product of their time as well, because this was before things were on demand, where you could find a certain clip that you wanted. So back then, if you missed it, it was like, I was like a best of kind of show.
Yeah, almost like a, and previously, you know, this is what has gone on in case you've, because of course, like you say, unless you recorded it or blah, 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 how would you catch up on an episode of Friends if you had missed it?
Yeah.
You know, so, meh.
And the final question here comes from Mike Beraltini from Sintra in Portugal. Sintra?
How do you spell it?
S-I-N-T-R-A.
I'd say Sintra.
So yeah. Sintra, Portugal.
Awesome. We've been there.
Yeah.
Shout out to Portugal.
Mike says, hi guys, loving the podcast. My wife also loves Friends, so it's funny to hear another married couple discuss the show. I was wondering, what is Nicola's favourite moment, since she's from England, when the characters go to the UK?
Yes. Well, I like it when Joey meets Fergie. I think that was quite funny.
Mm-hmm.
What else? I don't know. I do like to hear and sort of see some of the British scenery, really. I mean, seeing some of, the best sights and...
Was it cool when you were watching it for the first time going, oh my God, they're in our country?
Oh, I don't think I ever watched it, though, that early. I wasn't old enough to watch it that early. So I didn't start watching Friends until later seasons when it actually aired.
So they didn't show... I thought they would have rerun this one a lot in the UK, this episode.
No, well, yes, possibly, but not. I didn't watch it in any way, shape or form until I was a bit older, until I was probably... let me think... Probably early 2000s, really. So, yes, I'm sure they did relay it. And I remember my mum got me some DVDs and stuff like that for some Christmases
because
I was into it. But,
yeah,
I never watched the English one in the right time. So it wasn't that I was picking, oh, my God, you know, they've come here. Like, I'm so excited. I didn't even click that at all, to be honest.
Well, do you remember, but what I'm saying is, the first time you saw the episode, was it just, like, cool to think that they were in your country? How old were you, do you think, when you first saw that episode? You'd have been early teens?
Yeah, mid-teens, 15.
Like, again, to The Simpsons, when The Simpsons came to Australia, it was a huge deal for me. I thought it was so cool they were in Australia, being an Australian. I just thought being in the UK...
Well, it's really funny. I haven't really thought about it. I'm thinking back now. I mean, yeah, like, of course it's good, but I just didn't... I don't think I saw the... realised or saw the relevance or big deal back then. No, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I like it now. It's interesting now. Anything at all that is English or in England now is my jam, because I'm here. I'm in Australia, you know, and I'm like, oh, you know, I love to hear, you know, watch my English shows, and I love, you know,
just mushy peas in the cupboard.
Just talking about, well, they don't have mushy peas in the cupboard in England because they get them from the chip shop in England, but I have them in the cupboard in
tin. Do you not sell them at the shop?
Oh, I'm sure, but you wouldn't buy them from the shop.
Oh, it's if you were desperate, shops do it.
Yeah.
But you don't do it. What about when you're at home? You just make it.
Well, I wouldn't have mushy peas with anything other than fish and chips.
But so, you never cook chips at home. You always bought fish and chips.
Yeah, you wouldn't cook your own fish. I mean, I suppose my dad got the oven. You know, the oven. What do they call, bird's eye oven fillets and stuff. But you wouldn't have mushy peas with that at home. Nah, okay. You wouldn't bother.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you'd go out and have that. But I can't. They don't have it here, so so that's why I pay $2 for a tin, and stock up in the cupboard. I think it's Campbell's mushy peas.
Yeah,
chip shop style they call it, but it's, you know, it's all right. Fills the gap.
Is it Campbell's? I thought it was a UK company. It's imported. Oh. It's imported from the UK, Nicola.
Is that not? But can we have Campbell's in England?
Oh, okay. But they import those tins from the UK, so you must stock tinned peas in the UK. It's where it's from. It's an imported product.
Oh no, I hear you. I'm not saying we don't stock, but I would never.
You would never.
Mum has never bought a tin of mushy peas in her life, I'm quite sure.
The first time you told your mum that you're cooking stir fry or something or whatever with, maybe it was pasta back, but with sauce out of a jar, your mother's like, oh, you are not using jar sauce.
Oh, really?
Do you remember that?
Not really.
Because you said your mum would make the sauce fresh. She would never
use... For a stir fry, she would. I'm pretty sure she... Oh, no, you know what mum used to do, though, with like a pasta bake or something, or a tuna bake? She'd get the little sachet with all the flavours in it, and then you mix it up yourself, you know, so you put it in with whether it be your milk for your cream, you know, your cheese sauce or whatever, that sort of thing. And yeah, she'd do that, I think.
Okay.
I can't remember if she'd do a tomato sauce out of a jar. Anyway.
But getting back to that
English
episode, do you remember people talking about it when it first aired? Or were you just...
No, what, no,
you
because knew nothing what, about the think show. About it. What would it be?
It was like fourth season. It would be like 98. It would have been at 10. So look, when The Simpsons came to Australia, that was 96, and it was a big deal. I would have been 8.
Yeah, nah.
But I guess Simpsons was more of a kid show. Everyone watched The Simpsons when I was a kid.
In real time, when this episode aired, I have no recollection, knowledge of it airing. I wouldn't have even known what Friends was at that age. I think maybe I must have been 13, say 2001, 12, 13, right? 2000, 2001. That's, I think, when I really would start to enjoy it, pick it up, watch it on TV. It was on a little bit later, you know, 8:30 at night rather than earlier on. So it was a case of being able to watch it, still being up, you know, being at school, blah, 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 blah. So that's, you know, and then later, yeah, absolutely, when I watched it. But I don't, like I said, I just don't remember feeling like it was a big deal, actually, that it came to England. But I love watching it now, like I said, because I've been out of England for so long that it's, yeah, I love watching anything to do with England and, you know, yeah.
Well, if there's any UK listeners out there, let us know, friendsmailbag@gmail.com, whether you remember the episode airing for the first time. What was it like being in the UK when the Friends cast came and... It would have been one of the biggest shows in the world at that point. Season 4.
Yeah,
was it season 4? That's when he marries Emily?
Yeah, he does. The very last episode of season 4 is when he married Emily.
Yeah, so let us know what it was like to be in the UK when the episode was going to air, how much of a big deal it was. Friendsmailbag@gmail.com, and we'll read out your stories on the upcoming podcast. All right, that is our review of the one with George Stephanopoulos. We hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you for tuning in. Please continue to rate and review us on the iTunes store. It is a good way to help support the show. And if you want early access to this show and all the other shows we do here on the Four Finger Discount Network, you can do so by signing up to the Four Finger Discount family at patreon.com/fourfingerdiscount. Now, the next episode, Nicola, we are going to be reviewing the episode called The One with the East German Laundry Detergent. Mm-hmm. Is this the one where Ross and Rachel go to the...
They do the laundry.
This is a big episode.
I know.
For the relationship,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
I remember this one. I remember my mum watching this one. Like, oh, okay, I'm excited to review this one. This is the first one we've reviewed that I remember watching as a kid. Cool. So The One with the East German Laundry Detergent is coming up next. Thank you once again. Hope you enjoyed our review of The One with George Stephanopoulos. And we'll catch you guys in the very next podcast. See you later.
See ya.